Good afternoon, everyone. Today I'm going to switch up the topics a little bit now and talk about barley instead of wheat. And I'm specifically talking about malting barley cultivars and why they have to be created through a narrow cross and if we can explore the possibility of mapping within that narrow cross. So to give you an idea of what I'll cover today, I'll first go over the uniqueness of malting barley cultivars. I'll also discuss the pedigree relationships of the two parents that are utilized in my double haploid population for this research. I'll then mention the software programs which are utilized to analyze the genotypic and marker data, highlight some of the significant QTL which were detected, continue with current research which is ongoing at NDSU as we speak today, and also some future research ideas if this project were to be carried on, some areas of research that would be deemed as interesting. So why is malting barley unique? Well, it's unique because it's marketed and stored on an identity-preserved basis. But also, there's segregation of cultivars. Now, the segregation of cultivars could be by cultivar, by quality parameter, or even by the production area in which it's grown. Malsters and brewers have a long list of quality parameters that a malting barley cultivar has to meet. Because of this long list of parameters, that's why a narrow cross is needed. And this is because we're going to cross parents that already have both acceptable quality. Now, the two parents, or the two cultivars that I'm concentrating on today, are Robust and Standard. These are six-row malting barley cultivars developed at the University of Minnesota. And I just want to highlight, Robust was released in 1983 and Standard was released in 1993. The reason why I'm showing this pedigree relationship is to give you an idea how closely related these two cultivars are. As you can see, Standard has roughly four doses of Robust in it. But even though they're closely related, they differ greatly in both agronomic and malt quality data. And this can be actually seen easier if we consider some of the major brewers in the United States, Anheuser-Busch InBev, known as ABI, and MillerCoors. Now, Standard fits the desired parameters for Anheuser-Busch InBev because it offers those high levels of protein modification and high levels of enzymatic activity. Whereas for MillerCoors, Robust fits the parameters, offering more of a moderate level of protein modification and moderate level of enzymatic activity. Now again, there are a lot of different malting parameters which are analyzed, and today I'm just going to zone in on those quality parameters that help differentiate an Anheuser-Busch InBev cultivar from a MillerCoors desired cultivar such as Robust. And those traits include anything that involves with enzyme activity and protein modification, such as L amylase, warp protein, and soluble over total protein, or known as Kolbeck index. Now, these values are the desired values from AMBA, the American Malting Barley Association. And for alpha amylase, it desires greater than 50 20-degree dextrinizing units. Now, the main function of alpha amylase is to reduce viscosity by ultimately reducing the starch size. For warp protein, the average values should be around 5.2 to 5.7%. And this affects mainly beer foam, beer color, but also yeast nutrition. And then for the soluble over total protein, the values are desired to be between 42 and 47%, and this value tends to increase with germination and malt modification. I also am looking at two other traits, dextrins and fermentable sugar glucose. They're not shown on this slide because AMBA has not set the preferred levels for these two traits. So the major objective for this research then was to identify QTL controlling those three primary malt quality traits, dextrins, and fermentable sugars, specifically glucose. A linkage map was developed from the software program MapDisto. That information was then imported into a QGeme software program in which a composite interval mapping analysis was ran. The material that was put into both of these programs consisted of 54 double haploid lines from the Robust by Standard cross. Other material imported in was marker data of 156 SSR and DART markers. The total length of the map was around 754 centimorgans with an average spacing of 4.31. Now, those 54 double haploid lines were evaluated across 12 different environments. Six of those 12 environments were micromalted at NDSU, and the fermentable sugar data was analyzed through a high-performance liquid chromatography procedure. But I do want to emphasize the six environments because we start looking at the QGIN results. It's important to know, looking at the environments, that it's only out of six and not out of the 12 for which was used for agronomic evaluation. This just gives you a representation from the output from MAP Disto to show you the spacing of the different chromosomes that were detected. As you can see, 7H was not found, and the MAP is not very saturated. And this could very well be due to the small population size which was utilized. Before I get into the QGIN results, I think it's important to get a general overview or understanding of the basic statistics of the population. So right here you can see is the robust bystander double haploid population, and both parents robust and standard. Here you can find the overall mean across six environments, followed underneath in the parentheses the overall range across those six environments. For alpha amylase, there's an average of 69.75. If you remember from the previous slide, the desired parameter from AMBA was to be greater than 50 20-degree dextranizing units. So for this trait, this for alpha amylase is deemed acceptable. For soluble over total protein, or you can see it's around 48.14, again from the AMBA requirements, it was supposed to be between 42 and 47%, so it is slightly higher. And also for warp protein, it's slightly higher because the requirements for AMBA were around 5.2 and 5.7%. For overall dextrins and glucose, the average is around 214.86 and 1.32, which fell in between the average means between both robust and standard parent cultivars. So now that we can see the averages between those main traits that we're focusing on today, we can discuss the QGIN results. Now, I thought it'd be easier just to do a visual representation of what the chromosome may look like, and I've summarized the QGIN results on three main chromosomes, 4H, 5H2, and 6H. Chromosomes 5H2 and 6H actually harbored significant QTL for those primary traits that we're looking at that differentiate an ABI cultivar from a Miller-Coors cultivar. The reason why I'm showing chromosome 4H is because it also detected significant traits that are deemed important by both brewing companies. And those traits are beta-glucan and alpha-amylase, extract. And beta-glucan, both companies desire a low warp beta-glucan, and at the 155 centimorgan distance, significant QTL for this trait were detected in four environments, with an average R-squared value being around 0.36. For extract, around 158 centimorgan distance, four of the six environments were able to detect a significant QTL with an average R-squared value around 0.42. For chromosome 5H2, this can be thought of as the telomeric region, or also long arm of chromosome 5H. All the positions came from zero centimorgans, and they all share the same peak marker, which is a DART marker, BPP9660. So for the first trait, which significant QTL was detected, was soluble over total protein. Three of the six environments detected significant QTL, with an average R-squared value being around 0.36. Another trait was detected on this chromosome, and that was warp protein. Significant QTL were detected in three out of the six environments, with an average R-squared value being around 0.33. And then for alpha amylase, significant QTL were detected out of three out of the six environments with an average R-squared value being around 0.30. And then glucose was detected out of three out of the six environments with an average R-squared value being around 0.25. The final chromosome that I'm summarizing for the QGIN data today is chromosome 6H. Two traits found significant QTL in this chromosome, and that was at the 131 centimorgan distance, and that was the dextrin trait, in which three out of the six environments detected significant QTL for this trait, with an average R-squared value being around 0.32. And then at the 140 centimorgan distance, alpha amylase was significant QTL were detected for this trait. And this was detected out of six out of the six environments, so 100% detection through the environment. And the average R-squared value is relatively high, being around 0.68. So what we can summarize from the QGIN results is that two traits that were detected in all the environments in which they were analyzed was the beta-glucan trait found in chromosome 4H, but also this alpha-amylase trait, which is found in chromosome 6H. Some other highlights from the research that we can focus on then is that significant QTL were detected for extract, soluble over total protein, warp protein, alpha-amylase, beta-glucan, dextrins, and glucose. They weren't only detected in one environment, they were detected in multiple, or at least half the environments in which they were analyzed. And the R-squared value was relatively high. We think about parental contribution. Robots contributed the low soluble over total protein, warp protein, in alpha amylase, glucose, and extract alleles, while the high allele for dextrin was also contributed by the parent robust. And the inability to detect significant marker trait associations at more environments, why not 6 out of 6 instead of 3 out of 6 for most of the environments, could very well be due again to the small population size which is utilized, which is 54 double haploid lines from the robust bystander cross. That's why an additional 139 robust bystander double haploid lines were added to the existing 54 double haploid lines, and that population was evaluated this past summer in North Dakota at two different locations. And then currently at NDSU, the entire population, which consists of 193 double haploid lines, is being genotyped with 9,000 SNPs, and ultimately a new map will be constructed. The new map will better localize the QTL controlling agronomic and malt quality traits in the larger population. I will run the map disto and the QGene programs again for this new population of genotypic and marker data. And a way that we can validate our results then was to compare our results with the USDA barley cat to see if any QTL are diagnostic for marker-assisted selection. Some topics of further research if this project were to be continued on would be to measure the beta-limit dextrinase levels and also alpha-glucosidase levels to see if we can explain some of those differences found in the dextrin and glucose levels. And with that, this research was funded in part by Anheuser-Busch InBev and the USDA NIFA Barley Genome Mapping Project. Are there any questions?
Time for a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Would you mind moving back to the pedigree slide?
The what slide?
The pedigree. The parent pedigree.
Oh, the pedigree slide? Yeah. Sorry, way to go fast.
Right.
Okay. I had so many animations. It might take a while. I'll get there. They're closely related, yeah? Oh, there it is. Yep.
Can you calculate the genetic distance, or can you calculate, I mean, what's the region that you were saying that was the region?
Sorry, I'm not quite understanding.
Can you calculate the focusing of when distributing these two, or can you calculate the genetic distance based on marker data?
The genetic distance.
Coefficient of co-ancestry, or coefficient of parentage, did you calculate that?
I'm not quite sure about that. I haven't calculated that yet, but that's a good idea.
I just wondered because you said like just there are narrow crosses because still like we can have a QTL by crossing two sister lines with single gene difference. So in this case, I think like you still there's contribution by the robots, but you still have all the pairs at work. So maybe, I mean, that's like they may be different.
Between robust,
yeah, robust and same.
Meaning on the molecular marker side, or
directly.
Oh, for robust and standard.
With such a high parentage, a lot of them have been the same.
Mhm. And I found most of the markers they were found in both of the population or the marker populations for both starts and SSRs, but I'm not quite sure on the exact breakdown.
Yeah.
Oh, the polymorphism rate. Oh, yeah. 5%, sorry. Yeah.
5%?
Yeah.
Good thing you had 9,000 on there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you able to find any transgressive surrogates in the population that showed better within your tolerance for your traits?
I haven't looked at that quite yet, sorry.
Okay, well, I have 4 o'clock, and so let's thank our speaker.
Thank you, Robert.
Oh, thanks.
So that's the last of the presentations, and let's maybe just give another round of applause for all of the speakers this afternoon.